Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
A controversial study is suggesting that fluoride in the water makes people dumber. Michael, you brought that in.
I do have this up, but my tablet's a little flaky, so I'll try to read this, but you might want to...
Well, before we get into it, I mean, fluoridated water, that's such an interesting topic all by itself, because fluoride is a poison, right?
And in theory, I mean, there are people who say that
well, there's a reason the dentists tell you not to, you know, eat or drink for 30 minutes.
Yeah. Right. Don't swallow it because, yeah, it could harm you. But, yeah, it's supposed to be good for tooth decay and stopping cavities and all that. And that's why they put it in everyone's water supply.
Well, except for here. They don't do it in where we live. Not every place fluoridates its water supply. And the reason they say they don't do it in Keene is because there's naturally occurring fluoride in the water here.
Well, then.
Interesting. Yeah. So they don't remove it, but they also don't add it.
Correct.
Well, that's still unfortunate. But, I mean, yeah, there are conspiracy theories all around fluoride saying that, you know, it lowers people's sex drives, it lowers their testosterone, it makes them dumber, it makes them more compliant, mm-hmm. less likely to resist government encroachment on their rights.
Several outside experts expressed concern over the research's methodology and questioned its conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
No surprise, though some found the results compelling enough to merit further investigation. The U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention named community water fluoridation one of 10 great public health achievements of the 20th century because of its contribution to the steep decline in tooth cavities in the United States over several decades.
That's the part that really concerns me. You know, it's not just the very weak excuse of preventing tooth decay,
mm-hmm.
because that's not like a public health crisis, right? That's a halitosis problem. Give people some breath mints. For the most part, they'll be okay, right? It's not worth it to have this entire social experiment that we're running.
I don't think breath mints are going to solve tooth decay.
Yeah, probably not.
That's true, but I mean, it's not like, sure, I guess it could probably lead to mouth cancer or something. I don't know, but it's not like a major concern, right?
Well, it is a major concern for the people in the dental field. I mean, if you talk to, you know, like dental hygienists and dentists, these people fully believe in fluoridation. I mean, that's probably what they're indoctrinated with in the college system. But, like, you know, they're fully behind that concept. Like, they will comment when I go to the dentist here in this area in the Keene, New Hampshire area. I've had a dental tech comment to me like, oh, your teeth are in such great shape, blah, blah, blah. You know, you must not have been born here.
I was sitting there at a bar last night, mm-hmm. Hanging out with people, getting drunk, way drunker than I should have been to be dealing
with
this sort of thing.
Don't drink and trade Bitcoin.
Well, I was not trading Bitcoin.
Bitcoin Cash.
But I received an email from someone who claimed to have been scammed by me.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it was very jarring. He was supposed to get some concert tickets to see the Rolling Stones in exchange for a $200 payment he sent to my email address.
Oh, no.
And it very quickly confused. It confused me enough that I was like, okay, look, I have to deal with this in the morning. I will contact you then. And as I was showering this afternoon, I realized what was going on. This other trader that I had traded with at least once in the past was opening up trades with me, getting other people to send me the money in exchange for promises that he was making them.
That is what you call a man-in-the-middle attack.
Yes.
And it is fairly common in the online selling of cryptocurrency world.
So luckily, he has been trying. It always raises my alarms when people send me money without opening trades. I'm aware that some people do this because they just want to get it done. They know that I'll come online and I'll just immediately release the escrow if they have a strong trade history with me anyway,
mm-hmm.
which is generally how it works. But this person sent me $100 like 8 hours later than they were supposed to.
That's
so, of
bad.
Course, I didn't release it. But yeah, because the payment method is instant.
Out of 200 trades, how many of them would you say turned out to be bad? Like how many were
like just
undone?
Completely
how many
bad?
Were, you know, how many were reversed? Mm-hmm.
Probably 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not even 10%.
No, okay. Certainly not.
5%. Almost 5%. Yeah, 3%. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's all good. It's all great. The vast majority of people buying and selling crypto, are honest and, you know, reliable people. But you do have those few out there who are just interested in a quick buck, and they don't care about their reputation because you can't trace them down in the first place.
Right. And even if it was a site that required people to show identification to get on the site, it wouldn't make a difference because there's all kinds of stolen IDs out there.
Yeah.
I mean, did you guys hear about the Binance hack that, was allegedly hacked? Binance is denying that it was actually their database that got taken. Mm-hmm. They said that what happened was some hacker was trying to get Binance to pay up. It said that he'd hacked like 10,000 know your customer photographs.
Wow.
So like when you sign up for a lot of these Bitcoin exchanges, you have to like usually hold your passport or your driver's license in your hand. Frequently, you have to have like a handwritten note that says the name of the exchange and like your signature and a date.
This study, evidently,
we're back on the fluoride thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is being revealed allegedly to make people stupid. Or
Wait, the study's being revealed to make people stupid?
The study is revealing that fluoride is making people stupid.
Okay,
sorry.
Good.
Yeah. Or at least that's how I would characterize it. Because the average person, in my opinion, is already pretty stupid. And we're talking people losing 4.5 points to their IQ.
Right.
Allegedly.
Now, wait a minute. They tested infants here, right?
They didn't. They tested people who were 4 to 5 years old.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought there was something in there about infant IQ.
Well, excuse me. At age 3 or 4.
Age 3 or 4.
Got it.
Yeah. So at least they're not infants. They're toddlers, yeah. I think, is the word for people that age.
I don't know. I don't know anything about that. I'll take your
word
for it.
What they're testing is kids who are ages 3 to 4 whose parents drank fluoridated water when they were pregnant.
Ah.
And we're very quickly going to run out of a control for such a study.
Well, this study was done in Canada, and there's a lot less fluoridation in Canada. It says in the article, only 39% of Canadians have fluoridated water.
Huh. What is it in the U.S.?
It's like
a lot more. I bet.
75. Weren't you saying it was like 75%?
That sounds right.
Well, it says
right,
here nearly
know.
3 in 4 Americans.
Yeah.
So wow, we've also done it with high fructose corn syrup, just putting it in every freaking food you can find.
You need
just
to stop
about.
Doing that stuff, Arya. Man.
Yeah.
Well, you're always putting high fructose corn syrup in stuff.
And of course, we have no idea what implications it will have. So now America is looking around going, wow, our obesity rates really skyrocketed.
Well, I don't think you can blame high fructose corn syrup because I suspect that even if you had sugar in soda pop, the people that go to the store and buy flats and flats and flats of, 24-pack Mountain Dew and whatever else, Coca-Cola, and then they take them home and they live off of those things, I don't think it would make that big of a difference in obesity whether or not you had sugar or high fructose corn syrup in there.
As I've heard it in the past, it does, because the high fructose corn syrup has a different fructose to glucose ratio than what the body is ordinarily expecting.
Hey, by no means am I a health expert or anything like that.
I'm certainly not.
If you're taking in can after can after can of sugary soda pop, whether it's high fructose or, fructose, normal fructose, or sugar, I think you're going to add a bunch of calories to your body and probably you're going to get fat.
Have either of you ever seen the movie Dr. Strangelove?
No.
No.
I've only heard of it. Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about it, but no.
This is the first time I've ever really heard about it. I think I heard of the name before, but...
Is it Strangelove or Strange Glove?
Strangelove.
Okay.
I don't know. I've never seen it. Apparently, it was a satirical film from 1964 featuring an unhinged general who believes that fluoridation is a communist conspiracy against the United States.
Hmm.
So I'm going to have to watch this
tonight. Hit the Pirate Bay.
Well, maybe it's on Netflix. Yeah. I renewed my Netflix account Friday because the Invader Zim movie came out and I had to watch it.
Is that one of theirs? Did they make that movie?
Well, they published it, at least. I think it was probably Nickelodeon who still actually did the production.
I see. Okay.
But they published it on Netflix.
Yeah, instead of releasing to theaters or whatever,
right.
Which is what I expected. Great movie.
You'll probably get more viewers if you release it on Netflix.
These days.
I would really want to watch it now, but evidently she had been said she had not been convinced when a graduate student first approached her with the idea to investigate the effects on IQ. So evidently, the entire plot of the movie is that the communists have unleashed this plot to make Americans stupid.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Do you hear that, President Trump wants to buy Greenland?
Yeah, I did hear that.
I don't think he knows how this works.
I'm not sure he has Greenland, enough money for it.
Doesn't Greenland belong to Denmark?
Yes.
Yes, it does.
I think those people in Greenland think he's nuts.
Oh yeah, there was a lot of laughter coming from Denmark and from
Greenland.
I mean, there's almost nobody in Greenland, by the way. It's like 50,000 people, I think, occupy the entire place, and I don't know how much smaller it is than Australia. Apparently, it's like just below Australia. So, like, I mean, why is it called an island?
It's highly misrepresented on maps because of the spherical shape of the Earth. Uh-huh. So they tend to stretch out the longitudinal lines once we get closer to the poles.
Right.
So it's actually pretty small.
Is it?
Is it?
I think Denmark thinks he's nuts.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he is.
He is nuts.
He is nuts.
I mean, this is the wettest one we've ever seen from the standpoint of the water.
What do the folks down there in the Virgin Islands think about Trump that you know?
They think he's nuts. but respectfully.
There's been a lot happening in Hong Kong, none of which, as far as I'm aware, has actually been talked about here on Free Talk Live, which is interesting, but it's probably because there's so much background and so much baggage there. None of us are really experts in how all of this developed. Evidently.
Yeah, all I know is there's a bunch of people in the streets purportedly protesting for democracy.
Waving around American flags.
I heard about that. I presume this has something to do with the Chinese government taking over in the late 1990s and now maybe trying to crack down in some way.
Yeah, this has been 20 years coming.
But I don't know what sparked, what was it that got these people out into the streets initially that I'm not familiar with?
It was, we covered it on Call to Freedom, what the catalyst of this was, and I'm totally drawing a blank on it now.
The Chinese were, through Hong Kong, the Chinese were pushing a law that would allow the Chinese to extradite anyone to mainland China.
Oh, okay.
So Monday evidently marked 22 years since Britain handed control of Hong Kong to China. Mm. And that's what has caused a lot of this, because prior to that, Hong Kong was technically property of the British.
Yeah, it was a British overseas territory.
Yeah.
That's right.
And it operated, as you would imagine, a British colony would. It was a capitalist, what they call capitalist, city.
My understanding is that China actually has done a lot to restrict economic freedom in Hong Kong of the residents. Mm. What's happened in the last 20 years is they've done a whole lot to control real estate.
Mm-hmm.
So there's becoming less and less space for Hong Kong residents to actually live in. A room the size of this studio might house 6 people in Hong Kong.
Wow.
Like this studio. This house would,
There's
something
a very
the size
high,
of this house might have 20, 25 people living in it.
Yeah, there's a very high concentration of people there because it's not a large landmass.
And
so China's
there are restrictions
to this,
on building.
Yeah, so China's response to this was relatively calm. I mean, they simply released a strongly worded statement saying some extreme elements used excessive violence to storm the legislature building and carried out a series of large-scale assaults.
Assaults on their flag, because it didn't say anything about anybody getting hurt. It just talked about, spray paint.
If anyone got hurt, it was a result probably of fleeing the tear gas that the police fired at them.
And the guy in Missouri, I think it was, at the Walmart.
Okay, you're talking about the guy who walked into a Walmart open carrying a rifle of some sort and caused
a
panic.
It was, I think, an AK... 47 and a and he had a Glock, and he had 100 rounds or 200 rounds of ammo. And it was, I mean, I don't know if you're probably, you know, most people don't know about these checks that they're doing around, you know, where they videotape and they, you know, the First Amendment and Second Amendment checks where they're seeing if the authorities are actually following the law.
And I don't know what you're referring to there.
Yeah, I've never heard of whatever that is.
Okay, let me say, I know what he's referring to, at least with the First Amendment ones. So people will go into police stations and they will ask questions or whatever. They're trying to ascertain whether these bureaucrats are doing what they're supposed to do whenever asked certain questions or whatever. But I've not heard of a Second Amendment check by going into a private business to see what the police are going to do. I mean, most of the checks are...
The private business doesn't have any prohibition for open carrying, so...
Right.
But the protests continue to escalate, as one would imagine, because the Chinese government, although they didn't come in with, like, guns blazing, this was the extradition act or whatever, where they were attempting to extradite people from Hong Kong or creating the legal channels for them to extradite people. And the people of Hong Kong, understandably, didn't like it because of the long list of things that are illegal in China but aren't illegal in Hong Kong.
No.
Oh, really?
A lengthy list. I mean, they don't even have the Great Firewall in Hong Kong.
No kidding. I didn't realize that. That's pretty handy.
So things move forward a little bit. There doesn't really seem to be that much in this particular article. So let's go to the recent headline-making thing where evidently...
This weekend.
Yes, this weekend, 1.7 million people came out in support of Hong Kong freedom.
That's crazy.
For a population of 7-something million, that is overwhelming.
That's a more than 20% of the population came out.
To protest?
That's unheard of. Unbelievable.
During a downpour and a police order not to march from a park where they had gathered earlier. Well, they went ahead and did it. Evidently.
You can't stop them all.
Coming to us from, yes, they can. They did in Tiananmen. They'll do it again.
There were not 1.7 million people
in Tiananmen.
One
guy in front of that tank.
Police said... This would be the Hong Kong police, presumably, that the protest reached about 128,000 people, which seems to be a pretty severe...
It's a big discrepancy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, of course they'll want to downplay that, because the Hong Kong police, as I understand it, are pretty much in the pocket of the Chinese government.
Sure.
Well, yeah, they're the ones who cut them their paychecks. But protests, they've morphed into a broader call, not just for... you know, a maintenance of their independence, but actively advocating for freedom, liberty, and what they're characterizing as democratic rights.
Mm-hmm.
Anger has been sharpened among protesters by the heavy-handedness of the police, who have used tear gas, baton charges, and rubber bullets in incidents that have gained wide attention on social media.
Yeah, they launched a rubber bullet at this one girl, put her eye out. So what protesters did is they wore eye patches.
To protect themselves?
No, to
protest.
To draw attention to the fact that...
Okay.
Well, good on them. They're not the only ones, however, who are using social media to paint this one particular way or the other. Facebook and Twitter have both deleted dozens. Twitter, nearly 1,000 accounts believed to be... Well, they were controlled by people in mainland China. I'm not a big fan of democracy, but it's got to be better than what the Chinese government is doing.
Well, you know, these protesters are holding up American flags and signs that say things like, we need the Second Amendment.
Wow.
Yeah.
The story I've got here from AFP that you started earlier says, late in the evening, this was Sunday, hundreds of masked protesters briefly gathered outside the government headquarters shouting, "Reclaim Hong Kong! Revolution of our times!" before dispersing. State media has run images of military personnel and armored personnel carriers across the border in Shenzhen, prompting the United States to warn Beijing against sending in troops. Analysts say any intervention by Chinese security forces would be a disaster for China's reputation and economy.
I don't think China cares, and I don't think they have to care. They're the economic powerhouse of the world.
Mm. Yeah, this is true. China has built up their mainland economy to the point where they don't really need Hong Kong to be special anymore.
Well, I mean, whether they do need that or not, they don't need public opinion. They don't need the worldwide opinion. The United States government can't stop trading with China. Mm. Neither can the European Union or Russia or Australia or any other nation that is buying 60 to 70% of its goods from China.
No, not yet.
There's a video where ABC News interviews one of these young men, probably no older than 19, and asks him if he would take guns from, or no, so ask him if he would shoot an American. And he said if he had to, he would absolutely, you know, shoot an American. And, you know, the suggestion was that if the American wasn't doing what they were told, right, handing over guns, that they would be either shot or subdued. And there was actual video of the California Highway Patrolman going into an old woman's home and, like, basically tackling her to try to get a pistol from her, which was
just
shocking.
Yeah, and that was all during a drill, was it not?
No, this was not a drill. This was
Katrina.
This was Hurricane Katrina.
Why would the California Highway Patrol be involved in Katrina?
They were called in.
They need people, so they went out.
They called in warm bodies from all over the country.
Hey, boys, come on out. Here's a chance to take people's guns.
Well, I mean, that's the danger of the FEMA Act and acts like it, is that they allow the president or the governor to say,
this is
a state of emergency. So the rules no longer apply, and we're going to take your guns and round you up and put you in these trailers that you can't escape from. And, oh, by the way, we're going to put razor wire around them. And if you just so happen to die, oops.
And then they sent bottled water to Maine. So, you know.
Again, let's go full circle, though. The type of quote-unquote soldiers you guys are talking about, you know, no ding on the National Guard or the state, you know, the National Guard or guys like that. But those guys are dress, low-trained soldiers. Those guys aren't the tip of the spear.
I love Planned Parenthood. They do a lot of services beyond just abortion. Abortion is what they're known for.
Yeah, I've had STD testing gone on there.
I've had that as well. Yeah. They're who I go to for my trans hormones, which obviously the same people who are anti-abortion are also not fans of that. So that doesn't do anything to endear them to Planned Parenthood, but they do quite a bit more. They offer free condoms, free birth control, and all manner of things. It's a sexual and reproductive health clinic.
Right. It's almost like they're trying to help people plan their parenthood.
You think?
And avoid STDs and, you know, all kinds of other good things. Like, I've never had a bad experience with those people.
Absolutely not. They are the friendliest health workers I've ever met. I ran out of estradiol this past week because normally I can call and or I can just go there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but this time I was like, I'm just going to call and schedule an appointment like normal. I just happened to be out at the time. It wasn't a big deal. I had just taken some. I was like, they'll get me in tomorrow, be in and out. It'll take 10 minutes. Hmm. But they actually were booked until the 26th. It didn't matter.
Okay.
They went ahead and sent them to the pharmacy for me. The whole encounter took like 5 minutes tops.
On the phone?
Yeah.
On the phone. That's nice.
So you didn't even have to go in?
No. I'll have to go in on the 26th.
I see.
But, I mean, for something like that. I mean, it's not
but
a controlled substance
refill
or anything like that. But yeah, mm-hmm. I got the refill, and it's just amazing to encounter that versus my general experience with doctors, which is an extreme unwillingness to write these in the first place, even if I can prove I've been on them for a while, which I can, or they just want to prescribe me painkillers, which is less of an issue here in New Hampshire, but a significant issue in the South.
What on earth would they even prescribe you painkillers for, though?
Well, at the time, I wanted the painkillers. So,
there
was literally a doctor who would sit down and ask you what you wanted and then write you those. You don't get those at the Planned Parenthood clinics. My experience with them has always been that they treat me as a human being and they're actually concerned about my health and well-being. Hmm. They have pamphlets about domestic abuse, pointing out that it occurs not just against men, against women, but also against men.
Yeah. Oh, good for them.
What we learned in 2016 during the election when, Pence came out against Planned Parenthood, lots of people donated money to Planned Parenthood in Mike Pence's name, but they did increase their donations as a result of, we're going to pull funding from Planned Parenthood. Oh, well, that's okay.
No
because,
biggie.
Yeah. I would rather pay for the service voluntary, which is interesting. I mean, you mentioned the whole payment thing. They have never accepted money from me.
Mm-hmm.
I've attempted to pay them repeatedly, but like, oh, we'll just send you a bill. And of course, because the mail carriers here like to screw with me, I've never received any such bill.
Huh.
I don't receive most of the mail I'm supposed to get.
That's weird.
It's very weird. If it's important, the mail carrier is not going to deliver it to me.
Here?
Yes.
Huh. I've never had that problem.
If it's an ad for Market Basket, uh-huh, they'll deliver it.
Mm.
But if it's, you know, a bill, a debit card, a bank statement, whatever, it's getting returned to sender, yeah, every single time.
Have the junk mail comes through, though.
Have you talked to the postal carrier, like, manager?
I've talked to, yeah, one of them.
Postmaster General?
I went to the post office and spoke, mm-hmm, with them. I was like, look, they were like, oh, well, you got to have your name on the little piece of paper in the mailbox. I was like, it's there.
Yeah. Okay.
I've already done that. Just deliver.
Are we talking about Aria DeMezzo or your other name?
Both names are on there.
Mm-hmm.
Because some mail comes for Aria, right, DeMezzo and some comes from the other name. So both names are on there.
Uh-huh.
I covered that base immediately. So Planned Parenthood evidently receives about $60 million annually through the federal program known as Title X or Title 10. It's unclear. I assume X. The funds have enabled the group to provide more than 1.5 million low-income women each year with services like birth control and pregnancy tests, as well as screenings for sexually transmitted diseases and breast and cervical cancer. In some rural communities, Planned Parenthood is the only provider of such services. I don't know what rural communities they're referring to. Being from a pretty rural place in Mississippi, there was one actually run by the county. I don't remember now what it was called, but it performed exactly those services. That was actually where my wife at the time went to get her birth control and her screenings for breast and cervical cancer. But evidently, in states like Utah, where Planned Parenthood is the only organization receiving Title X funds, and Minnesota, where Planned Parenthood serves 90% of the Title X patients, those seeking care may face long waits for appointments, Planned Parenthood said, while other patients may delay care or go without. The group's decision, that would be Planned Parenthood, to stop accepting this money is being cheered by anti-abortion groups.
Good.
That have long sought to deprive Planned Parenthood of federal support. It's a long-awaited victory that will energize the pro-life grassroots, said, I don't know, some the president of the March for Life, whatever that is. I assume it's some pro-life group.
Yeah, it's an anti-abortion group.
Wait a minute. I mean, that's a twist to call it a victory.
Yeah, it's like 9% of their federal funding.
Well, but that's not what I mean. What I mean is these groups, these anti-abortion groups, they weren't the ones that made this happen. It was the decision of Planned Parenthood who said, we don't want to deal with this government crap anymore to accept this money, so we're just going to say no to it. So it's not like the anti-abortionists should be cheering what they've done because they didn't make that decision, and it wasn't they who were an influence in making that decision.
I don't know.
They're saying we have a victory here, even though they didn't do anything to achieve a victory.
But the pro life people.
That's a hollow victory at best. Go ahead, sorry.
The pro life people would be the reason that those strings were attached to the Planned Parenthood funding, would they not?
Yeah, it could be.
Evidently, just 2 days before he killed himself, allegedly, in his Manhattan jail cell, leaving behind nearly $600 million, he signed his will. The court document filed in the U.S. Virgin Islands, where the convicted sex molester. That's a very weird phrasing.
This is the UK, right? Where's the source on this?
This is from the New York Post.
Oh, New York Post. Okay.
It's from the article you just sent me. He owned two islands, including one that locals dubbed Pedophile Island. So this was not exactly... It was an elephant in the room that nobody was addressing.
Yeah. From what I understand, pretty much everybody in the Virgin Islands knew this was going on.
And so did all of the people at the apartment in Florida. And the one in Manhattan. I mean, you can't hide something like this. If you're regularly flying out 14-year-old girls, right, to your private island to have sex with them, people are going to notice.
Yeah. And they're not going to do anything about it because he's got money.
Yeah.
What are you going
to
do?
If he pays them to shut up, then then yeah, that's about the only thing you can do.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.